Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I take what I did very seriously, okay? We're leading up to something where if my kid did this, he would be grounded.
Oh, after I gave him the putt, he immediately called me a dick.
That's about right.
This is true.
Is it so off-putting that, did you mention this to your wife when you went home?
First thing.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello?
Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yeah, Mike?
Yeah, listen, I'm a friend of Mike's, and Mike's just a little hesitant to come in this morning.
Well, we teased the fact that he's coming in today. We really need to have him in. And well, this is a friend of Mike's?
Yeah, this is a friend of
What's your name?
He come down with something.
Yes, Mr. Cleaver.
No, he's outside. Do you want me just to put him on the phone?
Yeah, well, yeah, that'd be great.
All right, let me get him.
Thank you, friend.
They're good friends.
Yeah.
Hi, Rob.
Mike?
Yeah, Rob, it's Mike.
Yeah, it's Rob, and I'm here with Oscar as well.
Hi, Mike, we met your friend.
This is going to be difficult. I will say this for the haters that really don't like me. This is going to be a great show for them.
Really? Well, but
yeah,
I mean,
it's going to be a really, really
we
good
really
show.
Can't do a show.
By the way, Oscar will enjoy it too.
It really can't be a show if you're out. I'm guessing you're on like a payphone.
I'm just outside the hallway of my home.
Oh, on the payphone that's out there?
The call is coming from within the house.
I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
Well, we really need you in studio. I mean, I know we were able to cover for you, but we've been teasing.
I'm looking forward to doing the show.
It doesn't sound like it, Mike.
Well, it's just something that. All right, I'll just come in and we can start.
Yeah, come on in. Come on in.
All right. Goodbye.
You okay? He's okay. He's okay.
I think he's wearing a roadblock shirt.
I wonder if his friend will come in.
Weird. There we go.
Hi.
Hi, Mike. Woo. Guess who we talked to? We talked to your friend.
Yeah, your friend.
Your
friend. Nice to see you. How are you?
Any
welcome
friend
to the
of
Mike O'Mara Show.
Of ours.
That's right.
How's everybody doing?
A stranger is just a friend you haven't
welcome
met
back.
Yet. Yeah, Mike, great
welcome
to have you.
Welcome back. Welcome
sorry,
back.
My chair is
welcome
in the wrong back. Position.
Woo!
Let
Monday.
Me print out the show. I didn't do that yet. That we have an outline that we work off of. Believe it or not, you wouldn't know listening to this show, but we do. Live from Podville Media in Washington, D.C. and around the world, you are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome to the party, and please join us along with our friends in great places like Wellsville, New York, Leavenworth, Washington, Ding Dong, Texas.
A real place.
Bakersfield, California, Taichung, Taiwan, and Schwabisch Gmund, Germany.
Exactly.
Gmund.
It's actually Gmund because there's an umlaut over the U.
Schwabisch Gmund. Germany.
Yes.
The Mike O'Mara Show is here, and we are ready to believe you. And I start today's show with a desire to do one thing, to share a story with you that will be devoid of any self-pity.
Great.
And will be devoid of anything other than accepting total responsibility.
Okay, great.
Oh, good. Mea culpa,
so
if you will. Yes.
I'm going to give you two, at the outset, permission that if I lean towards excuses, I will give you mindset. All right? I will give you mindset.
I can't wait.
I will give you a personal feeling. I want to make damn sure that everybody in the listening audience knows when I'm telling the story that happened on what should have been a beautiful weekend of fun, when I share this story, all I am doing when I say that is setting the table for the mindset that I was in. All right?
All right.
Because I am here to tell you that what happened, it was no more than maybe tops 7 or 8 minutes.
What? It was probably tops 7 or 8 minutes. And as I mentioned to Rob before the show started, it did not involve alcohol.
Now, this is amazing because you've had moments, I'm guessing, I'm just surmising.
Well, I don't know what this is.
I don't know anything
don't
more than you.
Don't spoil it for me if you don't.
But it sounds like.
I haven't told Rob
It
either.
Sounds like, and I'm just guessing, from an outside looking in.
Yes.
Something happened that he's embarrassed about.
Well, most definitely. Yeah,
you've got that. I just
right,
I,
but
I just,
also the fact that alcohol wasn't involved. Now, know this from a man who no longer partakes.
Yeah.
Alcohol is always a flimsy excuse, but at least it's something.
It's an excuse.
And now you have no alcohol to
there
even.
There is no. There were no drops of alcohol at that particular time.
Oh, later
in my body.
I don't
from the previous evening, perhaps.
Let's not muddy the waters. First. For clarification, you, Rob, in life were overserved by yourself.
Yeah, but only for 39 years.
You overserved yourself.
Right.
We've all been.
I don't want to take the spotlight off of me.
We've all been there. It goes back to you, Mike. Could you please set the scene once again?
Yes.
Where you were headspace this weekend?
Yeah.
When we last saw you was Wednesday. We did the Thursday, Friday shows. And now we see you for the first time Monday morning.
I played golf at the Cocoonville member guest golf tournament with my friend John, who lives in my neighborhood, and it was a practice round on Wednesday, followed by Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, three rounds, 18 holes a day, nine-hole matches against different players. It was, for those of you that are not, by the way, for those of you that don't understand golf and hate golf and don't care about golf, power through this with me because especially if you like stories where Mike is a monster that Oscar has, Oscar's accurately described me as that, in the past I've had monstrous behavior, it is a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying golf is simply a backdrop.
Like the Hulk.
Yeah.
It's not really. It's central to the theme.
All right.
To the theme. So, let me set the table for this. It's a weekend of, not only intense playing of golf, but intense socialization where you go out and you know, there's partying, there are dinners, there are lunches. It's a very festive time, wonderfully run by the powers that be at Cocoonville Country Club, wonderfully run. And as I think I might have mentioned on Wednesday, something I look forward to every year. I truly do. I really look forward to it. I'm really excited about it. So I go into it feeling that way. I should also mention that I go into it with shaky confidence. I don't want to say no confidence, but shaky confidence on my ability because leading up to it in the brief time I played after the 2.5 month layoff, my game is in crappy shape. But I think maybe... You know, the worm will turn and everything will be okay.
Is part of it also you're committing to a 54-hole ride? I mean, this isn't like you can't...
No, he's not Mr. Olympia.
No, I think you're probably
the amount of golf, too,
as
right?
As far as analyzing playing ability, it's irrelevant to the story.
All right.
It is irrelevant to the story because, yes, playing badly does play into it, but it is not relevant when you consider what happened. Now, let me take you to our first match. Our first match is, and by the way, arriving for the practice round and seeing all my old friends from this place, from Cocoonville, lots of fun. Lots of guys I haven't seen in quite some time. Lots of ball busting. Lots of, just really nice to see everybody. And always great to go back there. And really, really exciting. I should also add that this partner of mine, John, my friend John, a new partner of mine, and just a delight to play golf with. Absolute delight. I would venture to say that if you really put him on a lie detector machine after the 4 days, he probably would not necessarily concur that his partner is the best person to play golf with. And not necessarily because of the one incident that I will describe, but and just a general malaise based on bad playing that I wouldn't be delighted sitting next to me either. That's complete. And I have no problems with that.
Is your reputation there one better than that? Like if it was a few years ago before you had all your trouble.
I probably have I saw a guy, my friend Mark over there, who looked at me, a wonderful human being, great guy. And he looked at me. I hadn't seen him in 2 years.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Mood swings," and he pointed at me like that. And I watched the tournament yesterday with the pros. That you get the guys that are just even Steven, and I'd love to be a little bit like that, but I'm not. I don't have the chip, and I'm not able to do
Mike,
that.
As the old classic bluegrass song says, "'Tis nice to be remembered."
But here's the thing:
yes,
it's fine if you beat yourself up. And relatively quietly. It's not necessarily fine for playing the game, but it's not, as long as you're not affecting anyone else,
right?
It's okay. So let me, that hopefully that sets the table. We begin the process on Friday morning at 9:30. Thursday morning at 9:30, and we're off to the races. It's going to be a series of 9-hole matches, two on Friday, two on Thursday, two on Friday, and two on Saturday.
And there's a break between the 2 9-hole matches each day?
Yeah, there will be a break between the 9-hole matches. On Saturday, the number one and number two in the flight will play to determine who goes to the final shootout, and then the winner is crowned. All right?
All right.
So we go to play, and oddly enough, in our flight is my friend, who's been on this show a couple of times, and host of the Miller and Moulton show, Mark Miller. And Mark Miller and I have been friends for quite some time now. We have socialized together on a regular basis. He has been to my home multiple times. I have been to his home multiple times. We have been out to restaurants multiple times.
Is he your best Florida friend?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Thank you. So we play. He has a partner who's an extremely good golfer, and I have a partner who is an extremely good golfer. They're both better than we are, our partners. His friend's name is Brian, and we play, and they beat us in the first match, and we could have won it, and I think they beat us. Either tied or beat. I think he beat us.
So it was a close one, at least.
It was close. And no problem. We go off. We go to our next match, and we either tied or won that one. I don't remember. Anyway, we hang in there. Really, really nice group of guys in our flight. So the matches are friendly, and the matches are good. The matches are friendly right up into the last, except for there was one real a-hole in the flight, and you're looking at him.
Oh, my God. Really?
Well, you're looking at him for one particular match.
All right.
So the tournament goes on Wednesday night. We go to dinner, and it is stag night, just the boys. And there's wonderful, there are, Rob,
yes,
wonderful activities, gambling on the flights and who will win. And they've got
seated with Bishop Pickering?
I was seated with my wife, my friend John's wife,
yes,
Mark Miller's wife, and his partner, who was solo flying that night. And we went to dinner, and it was a very nice dinner, but Carla had to work the next day, and we had a babysitter, so we didn't hang out for the band or the dancing or anything like that. We had to split early. Didn't mean anything by that other than I'm getting out there. Perhaps you'll have to hear it from him. I don't know how he looked at that, but I did leave early, but I think I was fine doing that. It was not like I was leaving in a huff. I just had to get going.
Right.
You also had like a little kid at home, right? So
yeah,
with a babysitter though. Yeah.
We had the babysitter. I think grandma was babysitting that night. I'm not sure, but here it is. But everything's fine. And then the next day, Wednesday night at Stag Night, I probably overdid it on the vodka and soda, switching from beer to vodka and soda. So I had a hangover on Thursday morning, and I didn't feel good. So I didn't touch any alcohol on Thursday, and I didn't, I might have had a couple of White Claws at dinner on Thursday night.
Doesn't count.
And that was it. And so it was, but I didn't feel good. I didn't feel good because I'm on this weight loss stuff too. And that alcohol is not your friend on this. It just doesn't make you feel very good.
It actually curves your want for alcohol because it doesn't.
That doesn't surprise me because it's really almost like an indigestion feeling that I had.
Didn't work for me.
And I had that feeling for a good chunk of the weekend. I didn't feel so hot.
Does it have a sticker on it that says avoid alcohol or is it just sort of an understood
thing? It may. I might have peeled it off.
Yeah, I did that a lot.
So, but I'm fine. But on Thursday, it's Friday. I get my act together a little bit and I help the team a little bit.
Good.
And we end up, I think, winning one or two. We, by the time Saturday's morning match came, we won that match and we are definitely going to finish either number one or number two, which means we will play in the final of the flight to go to the championship round.
Okay.
And also, if you win your flight, you get a trophy, which is nice. So I did it last year, and it's a fun thing to do. It's a nice experience. And so, but I am still feeling just crappy about the way I'm playing, that I'm not helping him. My partner's exquisite as a golfer, just fantastic. And he's having to do all the lifting. And he's a nice guy. And I'm doing things etiquette. Stop it. Shut up.
Well, you said exquisite.
No, he's just, it's a beautiful golf swing.
Okay.
It's a beautiful golf swing.
Yeah.
So, and I'm also going to say this, that I take what I did very seriously, okay? Because it's not, we're leading up to something where if my kid did this, he would be grounded, all right?
Oh.
This is the behavior that I would mock, this behavior that I would call out, and so, but it's leading up to this. So flash forward to Saturday afternoon. It's the final for the flight, and lo and behold, the guys that have played best are Mark and his friend Brian.
Okay.
All right. So, by the way, I have not been imbibing. I have just been hanging out and been working on my game in between the two nine-hole matches. We get to the 13th tee. It's a par 3, about 165, 70 yards. And we're in the A group. There are two groups on every hole. So you not only have your group, but you have the four guys in back of you who are watching the action.
Sure.
So they lead off, and I believe Mark Miller leads off and hits a majestic shot. Just really, like, really spectacular. And I had heard that he's been playing very, very well. And he's a good player. And he's better than I am, but he can play badly like I do. I, on the other hand, am not playing well. His partner hits the ball, another gorgeous shot, and then it's my turn. And I stand over my ball, and I wounded duck it, probably a swing that looks like I was tased in the middle of it. It's just not.
What is meant by wounded duck? I can imagine. Horrible,
I hit maybe a 15th of the ball. My body is disjointed. I'm all over the place. And kersplash, into the water.
The drink.
My ball goes. All right? So, and look, here's what I don't want you guys to say when this is all over. All right? Don't say, that's not a big deal. It is to me. Well, it is to golfers.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the behavior that's going to follow. So when I get to that, I go, well, that's not. It is.
Okay.
Trust me. It is. And I was sick about it. So mine goes in the water. My partner, John, who's a great golfer, hits a beautiful, majestic high one, but it goes a little left and goes into the bunker.
Okay.
All right. So we get up on the green. These two guys are on the green, Brian and Mark, and John's in the bunker. And I have to drop on the other side of the water, and I hit mine to about 8 feet. A very nice shot.
Cool.
But it is my third shot, and I'm putting for four. So I've gone into the water in one. I've taken the ball out for two. I've dropped and hit my third. So I will be putting for a bogey four while these guys are putting for birdie twos. And then my partner, John, hits it out of the bunker, and he's closer than I am. And if they miss their putts and he makes his putt, bingo bango. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
So
is it the best of the two of you? So if he...
Is better ball between the partners.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. So that makes
better
sense.
Better ball between the partners. I should have explained that the first time. This is where the fun makes. So at this point, we are all on the green. I believe the first one to putt is either Brian or Mark. I'm not sure which one because it'll be hazy. Perhaps Mark will explain when he has his chance to come on, which I'll explain why he's coming on after this. So they don't make their birdies, but they have, I believe, tap in pars.
Okay.
And now it's up to John to putt for a par. As I said, John is outside of me. I am inside of John. And I said, well, John, let me give you the line on this. And I stand over my putt. And right about the time I'm standing over it, Mark says, that's good. And I stop and I look at him and I say, and Mark says, Mike, that's good. That's good for four. Which, by the way, is within the rules of match play, better ball, 100% legitimate. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is where things began to go wrong in my brain. This is where the playing of bad golf for the entire weekend and my brain takes what is a legitimate rule in golf, where I pick up so as not to give my partner the advantage of seeing what the ball is going to do. I'm putting for four. My ball is irrelevant. They are already in for pars. We have, with my ball, already lost the hole. The only one that can tie it is my partner. And I somehow believe that this is gamesmanship. And it is not. But in my mind, I think he's effing with me.
Sure.
And the embarrassment of, please don't start shaking your head already. Please, we haven't even gotten it. What? What are you? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, I didn't mean to cut you off. You said the embarrassment. You should finish that thought. The embarrassment of what?
The embarrassment. What do you mean?
You said, and the embarrassment.
The embarrassment of the way I was playing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just all, and
a confluence of several factors.
I say something like, F you, that's gamesmanship, and I rant about it. I rant, and I pick up the ball, and I don't even know if John made the putt or not. I'm not sure. I don't think he did, but they're up by one, and I'm just seething. I said, F you, that's gamesmanship, but we walk off the green, and it's really, I can't even imagine what it must look like, but what it looks like is a sore loser, and I emphasize the L in loser, and I am showing my ass, showing my Irish ass with no justification whatsoever. Then, as I'm still seething,
yes,
still somehow in my addled vodka from two nights before brain, perhaps thinking that I was justified and that this was somehow gaming me and gamesmanship. It wasn't. Gamesmanship is when you do something that is against the rules, not necessarily against the rules, but flirts with the rules. This does not.
Right.
This is a rule of golf. All right. And I want to make sure you write down these words, Rob, when I'm saying them. All right.
Say it.
Childish.
Yes.
Incorrigible. Sore loser, dickish, bad sport, all of these things. In one fell swoop, I have done this. I know, without even asking, because he's a cool guy and he wouldn't say anything to me, that I probably embarrassed my playing partner at this point. Probably embarrassed Mark and probably embarrassed his partner too. Although nobody's witnessing this, it's still me. So I'm sitting in the cart in front of them, just going,
you're stewing.
Yeah, you are.
I'm stewing for no reason other than my own crappy golf. And they have music playing on a speaker in their golf cart. Some guys do, some guys don't. It's become something that is, some people get annoyed at it, some people don't, but a lot of guys have music on when they're playing. And as I sit there, I could care less whether there's music on. However, I suddenly think, In my anger mind, well, if he's going to do that, I'm going to tell them to turn the music off. And I say something along the lines of, can you turn the music off? And
does
Mark
the music
says,
continue?
No, I think Mark's answer was no to that as well. And you
this
know,
is the song that was playing.
Yeah.
It was Informer by Snow, wasn't it?
Hear the rules, O'Mara.
That's good, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, pick up your ball, Mike.
We'll get you an ice cream at the turn.
Yeah.
No, you can't putt, Mike. No, we can't turn the music off, Mike.
We'll turn it up a little.
As we are walking off, you know, I can't believe you said that, blah, blah, blah. And then I have probably another F off, maybe two F offs.
Yes.
And I'm up there at this point. His wonderful partner, Brian, comes over to me, and Mark is seething at me, justifiably 1,000% so.
Right.
And that's when his partner comes on. Come on, you guys are friends. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I know. And I'm walking away, and I don't know how long afterwards, but you guys know how I am. Within, what is that? What do I hear in the background?
It's a golf cart ambience. Because you're there, you're seething, you're thinking about
it. Can you turn it off?
Of course, yeah.
And, see, I'm not a nice person. So that's why I say that to you. I could just leave that on. It's your sound, but I'm not a nice person. You see?
Well,
I'm not. So that's it. I can say that. I'm not a nice person.
When people are in for counseling, they don't want coloration with sound. They just want to talk.
I'm competitive to a fault, and I emphasize the F in fault. So at this point, I realize it suddenly dawns on the fat idiot that I have behaved horrifically. And there is no going back.
Mike, the
this
five
is
words.
Out there. The ship is sailed. The dog's out of the crate. The pigeons have flown. And I walk over and I decide, well, I have no choice.
Right.
And I walk over and say to Mark, I apologize to Mark. At this point, Mark doesn't justifiably so want to have anything to do with me. And says so. I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's not the way you behave on a golf course. Bada, bada, bada. And I, at this point, Mark, I think specifically Mark, and his partner go on a tear. And let me just say, when you behave like this, for all of you athletes out there, when you behave like I do, let me tell you, it doesn't fire you up. Because you're totally and completely embarrassed, and you turn in to a complete ball of poo. A big, stinking ball of poo.
Because, Mike, you are childish, incorrigible, a sore loser, dickish, and a bad sport.
Right. Right.
And something just occurs to me while you're...
And by the way, when you do that also, you turn your partners, your opponents, rather, into... Superman. Superman.
Yeah. The thing that occurs to me that is funny, this is a member guest. You're a guest, right?
Yes.
You're not exactly.
I am a guest. Yes. Was I a member there for years and years
but
and years?
Still.
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was. I was a. Now.
They're like, nothing's changed with that guy.
Yeah.
About 30 minutes from now, we will be joined by Mark Miller. And, Mark Miller, who I apologize to multiple times, and he graciously, accepted my apology at the end of the day. I think the fact that they won our flight, is wonderful. I stayed afterwards to watch them compete in the final. They acquitted themselves well. They did not win. And this has nothing to do with my behavior. But at the end of the day, as John and I are watching this shootout, the last two men standing, last two teams standing, one of them was that guy that I told you about the story. Years ago.
Yeah.
John, at that particular point, was, I'll take you home. And he took me home. And so at the end of the day, I think it went like this. At the very end, I walked up and I apologized. He had accepted my apology on the golf course before we were done.
Oh, good.
And then I walked up to him after it was over. And I said, really, I felt bad. I didn't care about the match at that point. I felt just horrible about my behavior. He said, apology accepted. I said, I'd like to make it right. He said, let me come on your show. That's what he said.
Oh, he and said I it. Said, I was going to say, when you invited him, how long before he agreed? But it was
no,
his idea.
No, he said it was his idea to come on the show.
Okay.
And then I was still just a cauldron of emotions after that. I just felt horrible. I felt horrible all day. Was it? Did I kill anybody? No. Did I punch anybody? No. I just showed I love. One of the things I really love about the game is great sportsmanship. Really, really love that about the game. In one of our matches on the first hole, a guy lost his ball. And he ended up dropping his ball. And right about when he's about to pull the trigger, I look over to the left and I see a golf ball that nobody has seen from all the way across. I said, hold it. I think that might be your ball. That's the way you behave on a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell your opponent so you don't have an unfair advantage. That's the way that's the Mike I want to be. Not the F you, that's gamesmanship. F you, F off. Oh, I forgot one thing.
Oh.
One thing very important. You remember the time we were on the next tee and I am saying to them, please turn the music off.
Yes.
And very funny, I think it was Mark that said no to that too. And the other guy say, hey, come on, man. And it's like, I said, no to that. I get up out of my, as they are walking up to the tee because they have won the hole. I get up and I walk over to the iPhone and I press the volume down and turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you showed him. Another Mike is an ass move. So for those haters that have always hated me, I'm here to tell you, this is your day because there is no excuse. There is nothing. Look, I believe in remorse. I believe that if you behave, and I don't believe in qualifying it because there was no alcohol involved, and even that would be flimsy if there was.
Yes, true enough.
But what that was about was jealousy of the way they were playing, embarrassment. These are the feelings I told you I was going to take.
Thank you.
Embarrassment of hitting the ball in the water when everybody else was doing. By the way, the first morning we played, Mark did the same thing on the first tee. Well, took his medicine, went right about his business. Mm-hmm. Okay. Me, you know, I was embarrassed, but, you know, in my mind, I'm just going, and a maniac is being born that's just going to act out because you're so. And all this is because I am so angry at me and nobody else has done anything. But I'm like, oh, be nice to me. No, I was an ass.
Isn't this?
I was a total ass.
But you
ass.
Did find that guy his golf ball. That's good.
That's another match entirely. No, nothing justifies.
Yeah, you were getting the wrong silver lining.
That's what. By the way, that's where it ended, and I have no idea what he's going to say because I deserve it. I deserve whatever he is going to say.
Are you ready for some observations, or are we out of time? I don't know what's going on.
No, we're fine.
Okay.
We can do that.
First.
And then we'll talk about the Oscars after this. Then we'll have maybe news, and then hopefully Mark will.
Okay.
The way that the unpredictable nature of your personality has rewarded you, and also makes this show what it is today, because there's a good subset of our audience, majority now, that tunes in to see what's going to completely derail you. And on the other side, is it really an apology when you're apologizing because you're embarrassed about showing your ass
immediately afterwards?
Yes.
No,
right?
But so you're talking about the immediate
yes,
apology?
Correct.
No, I don't think that's a great point. That's a great point. I agree 100% with that. And I agree now that you frame it that way. Well, I didn't think in those terms anyway.
Yeah.
But now but it certainly backs up his response. I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
It's too fresh and stuff like that. Where, so the point would be if I had done that and then that was it, that would have been. I think in my mind, that might be unacceptable. I think when you do that, you follow up, you follow up, you follow up because you've really effed up. And so, yeah, that's a good point. Immediately afterwards, I'd be hard pressed to, you know, want to say, oh, okay, because it's not. And as I said, I get back to my kid. If my kid acted like that, I'd say, get the hell off the golf course. I'm a guest. You know, I apologized multiple times to my partner, but even during that time, I probably apologized with at that point in time when it was still fresh, with some
we've seen it
excuses to du jour, and
we've seen it here on the show.
This is why Mark said you'd love this segment. But nope. That's bordering on self-pity. Not going to do it.
Not going to have it.
The fact that you can talk about it is great.
Yeah. It is.
Most people would hide in shame and then say, I'll never talk about that.
This is the only, this is unrelated to me at all with this discussion. I want this considered to be a separate compartment right over here.
Agreed.
There is not enough responsibility in the world anymore. People don't accept responsibility. And we've had wonderful example. We had the Oscars last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you shouldn't shake hands right after, probably. You don't have any choice, but you shouldn't be surprised if that is not met with a welcoming heart. But it should be done anyway, immediately.
Correct.
Regardless of how it's received. And then it should be done again and again because it was egregious enough. And if you're saying it's the golf course, it doesn't matter. In my scale of values, it matters a lot. And it really matters if I try to justify it. It's BS. I'd hate it if I was on the receiving end of it. I'd hate it if I was the partner of somebody doing that. And I'd hate it. And
people, you know, for the perspective I look, it's like you don't get a chance. Most people don't get a chance to get away and do something like you did this past week.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. And if
is it competitive? It's highly competitive. Is it supposed to be, you know, No, it's not.
Yeah, and
it's supposed to be a man. Pick your big boy pants on.
This DJ trying to derail my day because he can't.
We're out of time, Oscar. Let's go, Rob. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Can you table?
You'll
that
have
thought?
Your fun later. Yeah. He's coming on. You two can have a ball. And by the way, when he comes on, I don't know if he wants to rehash the whole thing.
We'd love to. I'm sure.
You know,
he has a thumbnail.
But you know, I want to make sure I got it right, and we'll be right back.
How's that?
This week's bonus show is award winning with Tales from the Car Wash, Secrets from the Back Seat, and a salute to the silver screen.
Hi, I'm Rob.
Hi, I'm Oscar.
Night for
my ass hasn't ever looked better in my jeans. He thought my boyfriend just left.
I would like to see Jimmy Kimmel punch Liza Minnelli.
Frankly, dear, I don't give a damn.
Will they make it illegal to fly your airplane hand out the car window?
How do you kill a dead man?
Today's been a lot about me.
Critics are raving about the TMOS bonus show. Subscribe and download today to find out why at MikeOmerasShow.com.
And that's what you get on the bonus show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. As the weather warms up and the flowers start to bloom, it is the perfect time to take a fresh look at your financial planning. If you've been meaning to get life insurance, but you keep putting it off, now is the time with Fabric by Gerber Life. It's quick, it's easy, and it helps protect your family's future so you can get back to enjoying life. Fabric has great policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. It takes less than 10 minutes to apply and personalize your quote to fit your family's needs. Plus, Fabric has a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/TMOS. That's meetfabric.com/TMOS, M-E-E-T, fabric.com/TMOS. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices, subject to underwriting and health questions. Welcome back to the show, as mentioned before, to put a nice little cherry on my S Sunday.
Yes.
Mark hopefully will be joining us in the next 20 minutes or so. But I do want to talk about the Oscars because I watched it last night. Oscar, who will win?
Wonderful night for Oscar.
I loved it.
Oscar.
I liked it.
I think if I can, I will tell you a cliche that's used with analysis is setting the right tone. But with what they had last year, with the S show, and I mean not just the slap, take the slap out of it, the S show that was the whole thing, the very, very poorly scripted introductions, it was tight as a drum.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yesterday.
Jimmy Kimmel was funny without, and I never thought I'd say this because I love the Ricky Gervais edge, right?
Yep.
But he was funny without, would it be being dignified? He
it
was
felt
funny
like
and,
it was
and dignified.
Flaw, like he was just himself. He wasn't trying
to bust balls for busting balls' sake.
No, what I saw up there was a guy who was a broadcaster who knew how to do television, and there was a certain Johnny Carson-ness about
yes.
it. Not to take it back too many years, but Johnny would go up, and he wasn't there to do a show. He was the master of ceremonies.
It felt like he belonged there.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I like him.
And then, you know, one of the things I want to see when I watch an award show, and I've hated them for a long time, because I just felt like they went back to what it used to be. You had one host.
Like quick, boom, boom,
bam,
boom.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah,
loved
it.
You had
it.
Really classy, dignified introductions.
Mm-hmm.
You had wonderful musical performances all over the place. And then, my favorite part, you had genuine, really gut-wrenching, delightful acceptance speeches from people that it meant so much to. And that makes me love it. That's when I like to see it. You know, it's the pinnacle of these people's career, and they show it. And, you know, Rob, I know you're a kind of a death reel connoisseur.
Yeah, it was.
That was kind of flat.
That was a horrible death reel. They left a lot of people out that should have been there.
Yeah.
And I know that David Mirisch was the head of the Academy, but don't close on him. That's not a strong closer. That's not how you do that. But, Mike, when you talk about the emotion on stage, there's two I'd like to play.
Please.
Little clips here. Jamie Lee Curtis was such a great win because essentially Hollywood royalty, right? I mean, her mother, Janet Leigh.
Angela Bassett didn't like it.
No, she seemed fussy.
Maybe she's competitive.
Yeah, maybe she is. Maybe she's like Mike O'Mara on the 13th green.
She said, I don't want to have anything to do with you right now. But she was so...
No, that's the other guy. If it was me, it would be, she said F off.
So she was up there, and not only did she share the spotlight with everyone who worked on the movie, she was, you know.
She mentioned her parents.
It was just, it was great. This is just a brief part of her speech.
Stop. We just won an Oscar. We just won an Oscar. I just won an Oscar. We just won an Oscar.
And that is something that everyone thanks the crew on a film, but that's the first time I've ever heard them phrase it. We've won an Oscar.
It was very well done, and it was very well thought out. She obviously gave a lot of thought to it. It was inclusive, and, you know, she's a scream queen. She's been dissed for her whole career about her acting with Halloween, always. And to have her win that. Now, the one thing I will finally do is give it its due and sit down, clear my mind, and watch that Everything Everywhere All
Robert
at Once.
Robert and I are going to watch it this week because
I just got to see it.
It's a must watch.
It killed it. And I just love Jimmy Kimmel, too, as a host. He's just terrific.
And speaking of everywhere, Kei Hui Kwan?
Well, your guess is as good as mine at the moment.
Kwan, he was the Goonies guy.
Yeah, he was in Goonies, and he was also...
Oh, I tried to explain that to my mom, as she's tearing up through
his
speech.
And I had to explain...
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. I had to explain to Robert, that's Short Round. But it was very cool when that won Best Picture, and he got to hug Harrison Ford.
His speech was so great.
But his speech for supporting actor...
The acceptance speech, one of the best I've seen in 10 years.
Yeah, it was great.
Dreams are something you have to believe in. I almost gave up on mine. To all of you out there, please keep your dreams alive.
Talked about being a refugee.
Yep.
His mom, he mentions
you,
mom.
Thank you so much for welcoming me back. I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
His mom watching at home. It's just so
exuberant.
And just, I mean, everyone's saying it, but it's worth
imagine
it.
Imagine what that feels like. You're a child star. You're in these mega hits when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You're kind of thrown away. You know, every actor in Hollywood is as good as his last job. And look, I'm not crying anything for these people, but I'm also saying it's a game of rejection and it's showbiz and it's very cold and very heartless. And you get somebody who gets another crack at it and does something he never believed would happen. And I thought it was super cool to see. I really want to see the
movie. As we all know, Goonies never say die.
That's true. This is true. And I believe...
Rocky... Well, I've got it right here. Hold on just a second. What am I doing? I've got it right here.
Rocky Road?
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And it was mentioned, one of the great, great weird pieces of happenstance was mentioned. Here's a couple opening jokes from Kimmel. And again, relaxed, funny, master of ceremonies.
You look great. Everybody looks so great. When I look around this room, I can't help but wonder, is Ozempic right for me?
Had to get the Ozempic joke.
Piece of Oscar trivia. 31 years ago in 1992, Brendan Fraser and Ke-Huy Quan were in a movie together, Encino Man. Two actors from Encino Man are nominated for Oscars. What an incredible night this must be for the two of you, and what a very difficult night for Pauly Shore.
And that was the opening, so there was no telling that they would both win, which is really kind of wild. It was a pretty good show.
Well, it was
but
good
the death
Oscars,
reel was not so much.
And I loved every minute of it. I think I went back and watched the highlights because I didn't stay up for the whole thing. But wow, really, really fun
tight. Well done.
And, you know, makes me look forward to next year. More movies in theaters. Amen to that.
That helped
love
it.
Love to see that.
That helped it. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, if you're watching The Whale, which I did yesterday afternoon, yes, it is dark, too dark to see. And yes, it is a small screen, so be aware of that. We'll be right back.
He's a desperado that takes care of business.
I'm the wrangler is what I am.
Riding and roping and always getting it done.
Did you see me wrangle before the show today?
You did a
great job. Yes.
Sometimes trouble just follows a man.
Folks don't know much about him except for his name.
The Bolivian wrangler.
The Bolivian wrangler.
Put that on my tombstone.
He may not know basic American history.
When was the Bay of Pigs? The Roaring 50s. The Depression was in the 20s.
You're insane.
But when he wants to wrangle up some goods for the office or his hacienda.
Aye, that's Spanish for house.
He shops at Target and Walmart through the shopping center at MikeOMaraShow.com. And with a few clicks, he can pick it up at the store or have it shipped to his door.
You'll thank me for this.
Shop like the Bolivian Wrangler because he knows that getting the big deals is mighty satisfying.
I'm feeling great.
Who was that masked man?
Oh, that's wonderful. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's face it, trends and fads come and go, especially when it comes to health and wellness. Noom is not a fad. They use psychology, not trends, to help you make intentional and sustainable choices that are aligned with your values and weight loss goals. Noom allows you to build more sustainable habits and behaviors. The program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. Whatever your health goals are, Noom focuses on progress instead of perfection. First-time Noomers lose an average of 15 pounds after being active in the program for 16 weeks. I love Noom Weight because it works. It's worked for me. It's worked for Oscar. It's worked for Carla. Amazing results. Lose over 20 pounds. It's awesome. Chasing health trends, you know, don't worry. You don't have to do that anymore. Build sustainable, healthy habits with Noom's psychology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial today. And check out Noom's first ever book, The Noom Mindset, a deep dive into the psychology of behavior change, available now wherever books are sold.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
This is The Homepage. We just talked about it, but I'll give it to you one more time. Kind of expected. Pretty much happened. Everything Everywhere All at Once won the most of the Oscars it was up for. Specifically 7 out of 11, including Best Picture. The only acting award it didn't win was Best Actor, but they didn't have a nominee in that category. Brendan Fraser won that one for The Whale. Mm.
Kei Hoi Kwan won Best Supporting Actor for Everything Everywhere. That means, along with Brendan's win later in the night, two of the stars of Encino Man, which Jimmy
so
Kimmel
funny.
Pointed out, are now Oscar winners. Michelle Yeoh won Best Actress, and Jamie Lee Curtis won Best Supporting Actress, beating co-star Stephanie Hsu. Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert also won Best Directors and Best Original Screenplay. Jimmy Kimmel did make several references to the slap, starting with his monologue. He said, quote, "We have strict policies." This is funny now. It's even funny when I go back and look at it again. "We have strict policies in place. If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor and be permitted to give an 18-minute long speech." That was funny. He added, quote, "Seriously, the Academy has a crisis team in place. If anything unpredictable or violent happens during the ceremony, just did what you did last year. Nothing. Maybe even give the assailant a hug."
That is so funny.
Oh, I bet he was filled with remorse after that, too. Anyway.
Yes, of course. He's made himself a better person.
Yeah, right. Ticketmaster and Live Nation have been getting absolutely roasted lately by everyone from the lowliest blogger to the federal government, but they may have come up with a solution.
Okay.
And I know you go to a lot of concerts, Rob, so
yeah.
Listen to this. If they just tell us why they charge so freaking much for tickets, maybe we'll understand. I don't know.
What?
Ticketmaster is working on a plan to educate both politicians and the general public about their practices and fees, so we'll appreciate what goes into the cost of a ticket. A Live Nation exec says, quote, "We got to now go out and do a much better job so policymakers and consumers understand how the business operates." What say you, Mr. Spiewak?
Or
Oscar?
I say that they need to just lower prices. What they do is incredible. What they do as far as, first of all, the baseline for tickets have gone crazy in the last 10 years.
You don't have to go.
Yeah, you don't.
No.
But if maybe...
It's not a charity, it's show business.
Maybe if we stopped going, then they would lower the price. I don't know. But I think that what they do is exorbitant. And also, it's sort of... I think they see it as an in for a dime, in for a dollar type thing. If you're paying $400 for a concert ticket, you're not going to care for an extra 20 or 39 or a 40. And they,
you know,
they ride
that
train.
Partner, my playing partner, John, mentioned that he's going up to Tampa to see the Eagles in the next week or two. And I said, it's the first time in my life where... I heard that, the Eagles, and I said, I mean, I really, in my own mind at that moment when I heard that, I processed, it would be the rarefied air, no matter where I sat in that stadium.
And they were the first, really greedy band. They were the first one to go over $100 for base ticket prices.
I have no idea what it is now.
It's what the market will bear. Look, our live show in New Orleans, which we're gearing up for,
yes.
A little over a month away.
Amen.
Super excited. It's run by Live Nation. They're the biggest monster in town, and they're the main guys, and it's what the market will bear. Now, I think it's a joke that they're trying to self-regulate because they don't want the government stomping in and saying, "Hey, you're too big, let's break you up."
And they think about if they say, "Oh, well, here's how we're spending the money." Well, you know, okay.
Well, they have people that work for them, they process and all that, but I mean, I think that
it's software,
just
Mike.
The overall price. It makes me sad, and I talked about this a million years ago when we talked about the Masters, and then the listeners did that solid for me, which was the greatest listener thing ever been done for me. I will tell you this, that it really is out of reach, and you're seeing that more and more in society as a whole. I'm not trying to preach socialism or any of that. I'm just saying you see the gulf widening. I see it down here all the time with the haves and have-nots. And it used to be, when I was a kid, we're high school students with a part-time job.
Yeah.
We can pay to go see a concert.
You
can't, nowhere near that now.
No, you can't
do it.
Speaking of the good old days, Mark Miller's in the waiting room. Just a heads up.
Oh, you know what?
Tell him to cool his heels.
Let's play. I'll give you the kicker right now,
Okay, great.
We will take a break.
Perfect.
And come back with Mark. So we'll get right to it, ladies and gentlemen. And Oscar is evil to get that. I'm sorry, he's eager to get that on. A little something, something. There are chickens and roosters all over yards and even some roofs in one valley neighborhood. This is outside of Phoenix. It's a neighborhood just south of, you know this, Oscar, of the Biltmore area. The city of Phoenix says that they have not received any recent complaints, but a realtor here in the valley says selling has been a challenge. If you take a drive, this is the quote, through the neighborhood of 34th Street and Earl. That ring a bell to you at all?
Of course. Know what? It's a nice area.
You'll find roosters, chickens, even peacocks all over people's yards. The city of Phoenix says because the birds are feral and no one claims ownership, no code can be enforced. While most neighbors seem to enjoy their presence, realtor Sasha Blanchett says selling homes in the neighborhood has been challenging. Her quote, every time I was going to show the house, all my plants were pulled up by the chickens.
Yes.
A spokesman for the chickens says, I'll say, I don't know what all the fuss is about, son. Now go, I say, go away, boy. You bother me. That boy's got more nerve than a bum tooth. Sorry, that was Foghorn Leghorn. Right.
Those chickens, they're owned by Earl.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by a very special guest, Mark Miller, right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. And I'll take a big, deep breath, and Oscar will smile.
People all over are talking about a new way of pampering themselves.
The Brazilian. I thought it had something to do with beekeeping.
Introducing a new you, feeling young and vibrant.
Dirk Glove. Why can I not get the name Dirk out of my head?
Hey, ladies, let's get you looking radiant.
Here's an unsolicited testimonial about Dirk Glove.
Ladies, let me give you the truth. That Dirk Glove sh- will mess you up.
Well, it ain't for everyone. If you really want to pamper yourself, check out the real thing. Check out Dermglow Skin to see what Carla can do for you.
She is a pure artist in her field.
Oh, by the way, men need not apply.
Oh, even though
for products or consultation, visit DermglowSkin.com today.
And by the way, hi, Carla.
Ah,
gross.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. KiwiCo is defining the future of play by making it engaging, enriching, and seriously fun. They create super cool hands-on projects designed to create a lifelong love for learning among kids. Each month, KiwiCo delivers crates packed with fun and sparks creativity with kid-friendly topics and activities from engineering to learning about the science of cooking. There are interesting topics for every kid and real hands-on skills to explore. Discover subscription lines for infants and preschoolers to teens and beyond. The moment of pride and accomplishment at the end of a KiwiCo project sparks creative confidence for ongoing experimentation. KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together. Plus, there's no commitment, pause, or cancel anytime. Redefine learning with play. Explore hands-on projects that build creative confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line at kiwico.com/TMOS. That's 50% off your first month at kiwico.com/TMOS. Let's bring in our guest right now. We are joined by our friend. I hope he's still my friend. Mark Miller from the Miller and Moulton Show. Now, are we going to have Mark on Zoom or just on the phone?
Mark is actually on Zoom, but his camera is not connecting. So I believe we have him audio-wise. Mark, are you there?
I am here. I can hear you guys perfectly.
Can you bring him up? Turn him up for me a little bit?
You bet.
Mark, just so you know what happened prior to the show, the very first over half an hour of the program, I described what had happened over the weekend. So that doesn't change what you are going to say, but I will tell you that the guys have been informed of what happened, and if I left anything out, they'll certainly let me know.
We got Mike's version.
How are you, Mark? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing really good. You know, always good to talk to you, always good to come on with you, and I always appreciate your generosity in letting me on the show. But I'm very curious of what version of the story you told.
Oscar, maybe you could
I can give you
share that with
quick paraphrase. Mike was, you know, having a great day with you guys, with the three of you. He wasn't playing very well, and then he became, you know, the Incredible Hulk when he thought he was being cheated, and then he became petty when he decided, I'm going to show them by turning off their music. And
he
overall,
confused rules with gamemanship.
He didn't confuse. He manifested chaos.
Right.
Because he was unhappy with the way he was playing, became a baby and tried to take his ball and go home and embarrassed you and all his friends and himself in passing.
Well, I mean, I don't think he embarrassed me. I wasn't embarrassed at all. I kicked the crap out of him on the golf course. So the only embarrassment that was done was by Mr. O'Meara.
Fair.
But yeah. What happened in how it started is that in match play, at any point, you can give someone a shot.
Yes.
And we already had a three on the hole. Mike was putting for a four. And I said, and he was going to show his partner the line on that putt. And I said, Mike, pick that up. That's good.
To interrupt you here, I will. Did I say that, Oscar?
You did share that. Actually, gave us that detail and the nuance.
It matches up. It matches
up. But then after I gave him the putt, he immediately called me a dick.
That's about right.
This is true.
He goes, you're being dickish, which yes. All I did was something that was completely allowed in the rules of the game. And I thought,
I truly
thought he was joking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I started laughing.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not kidding. You're being a dick. Mm. And at that point, I had to wonder how old Mike was, because in Florida, there's a law that if you hit someone over the age of 65, it's a felony.
Well, you could have hit me. I'm 63.
Committing a felony.
I'm 63.
Oh, damn it! I could have hit him.
Yeah.
So I just to back you up, that not only did I say that, I also said you got your first FU that you maybe didn't hear from me on that green before we got to the next tee. So along with the dick, I gave you, I think I said gamesmanship, and I said FU, and I stormed off. Got in the golf cart and was just, I don't want to say it was pouting, because it was a combination of pouting and raging in the golf cart. And as I said before, with absolutely no justification, I tried to explain the rule as best I could. There was absolutely, it's an 1,000% normal activity in match play, better ball, always.
And so the next hole now, and we had played already in this tournament. We played the very first match against one another.
Right.
And same partners, same music playing, probably the same station.
Yeah.
In my cart. And all of a sudden I get the turn the music off. At which point I started laughing. I mean, I started roaring. I started laughing out loud. And I said, that's not going to happen. Not today or any other day.
Mark, no, you Mark, had a funnier line than that, Mark. You said no to that as well.
Man, that's
what,
Mark,
that's what you said.
What kind of music were you playing?
It was just classic rock. Yeah. Nothing, you know, just a classic rock station. I think it was Sirius XM classic vinyl.
When Mike
now, the
stormed
other thing,
over.
Hold on, Rob. Okay. Hold on. The other thing that I had said when I was telling the story was that I hadn't heard it. I literally didn't hear it in the morning. If I heard it, I didn't notice it. I didn't notice it on the first hole. I could care less. I was doing that because I was raging. So there was no justification. It's not like it meant anything other than I'm going to show them, and it was embarrassing. It was it was dickish. It was horrible, and you know, and just like the whole rant on the green was horrible. Oscar, I know you wanted to chip in.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm having I'm not going to. It's not a pity party for me. I just want to reiterate to all of my loved ones, I'm really having a good time right now.
Mark,
go ahead.
This is a question for you, because we don't really get to engage with a lot of Mike's friends.
Well, it's hard.
Why?
Not a lot of them.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay. I don't need that as well.
So
number may be decreased by one.
Oh, man.
So as Mike was telling this tale, everything was on brand with Mike O'Meara we know and love. I felt like I can't wait to have Mark on internally to ask him, because there must be a level of you feel like you just witnessed a psychological car accident, because you can't really understand what happened or why the driver would do that. And didn't they see that coming? It's a little confusing. Am I wrong?
Well, anybody who plays golf can understand that sometimes you can lose your cool out there. Mm. And I get that as well as anybody else. And I had to make the determination of whether or not I was going to poke the bear for the next four holes. Or just be pissed, because I was genuine. I mean, I was as mad as I've ever been in a long, long time. It's as mad as I've been in years.
Yeah.
And he kind of gave me some half-hearted, you know, apology on the tee, which I didn't buy any of, and he didn't believe any of. And I shook his hand as hard as I could. I was literally trying to rip his arm out of his socket when I shook his hand. And I think that's when I came back with an F you to him.
Yeah.
Do you remember the handshake, Mike? Do you remember the shake of the hand as it being very hard?
No. We had discussed that, Mark, that Oscar brought up a really good point about when you apologize that soon after the behavior, there's no way that it's going to be accepted because it's too fresh. The behavior's right there. I totally understand that as well. I totally understand the anger. I would have been exactly the same way on that. There's no, there's absolutely no way, nor would I respect anybody that would come in and say there's any justification. Do we all get hot on the golf? Yeah, you get hot. You mutter to yourself. You bitch at yourself, but you don't create some sort of gamesmanship that doesn't exist and then create another scene after that when you should just eat the S sandwich. So as time went on, I think once or twice or maybe even three times, I communicated that to you. I was very gratified that, at the end of the day, you accepted my apology. I was grateful for that. And I say thank you again for that. I also said, and I'd like your opinion on this, that when you do this, when you behave like I did, you serve to be embarrassed for the rest of the afternoon. We were at the absolute beginning of the match, and I think I served to turn you and your partner. Well, you, first of all, I wanted to thank Brian, too, because Brian was awfully gracious during that whole time. But I think I turned you into, Scotty Scheffler after that.
There was no doubt that, I played really well in the morning. I played really well against you guys. I played the best round that I've ever played at that course in my life on Saturday. So I had a career round in a good moment, which was fun. But I was trying to decide whether or not I wanted to poke the bear because Mike was playing awful. And I mean awful.
I've never played in competition. Yeah, I've never played in competition that badly. Thanks for laughing at that, Oscar. Appreciate it.
And he wasn't good, and I'm sitting there going, do I poke the bear and maybe he gets it going again, or do I just shut up, keep to myself, and let him play like crap? And after the incident happened, he actually won the next hole. The following hole, he hit the best shot he'd hit probably the whole week. And he hits a shot into about 8 feet, really, really good shot. And right after that, my partner hit it to about 7 feet, and I hit it to 5 feet, and we won that hole. And that right there, I think, completely demoralized Mike at that point. You were done then.
So you poked the bear with your play.
Hold on, Rob. I have to answer Mark directly. Mark, I was done after that incident on the ground. I was so, just the way I'm programmed. And we know each other. I don't know how well we know each other. I felt through this morning, well into last night, I didn't strategize about what I was going to do on the show today. I knew what I was going to do because I felt like crap. I still feel like crap. I think you're a gracious guy to come on and, it's just I felt horrible. And I hope you know I was sincere after everything was over and I came up to you where I said, I didn't think about the match at all. I wasn't into the match. I felt horrible. I felt absolutely, it had nothing to do with the golf. My day was over when I did that. And I hung around afterwards to watch the finish and the final. And when the final went down to two teams, John was gracious enough to take me away. I think you understand that too, Mark. It was just, it was terrible. And I'm sorry. And I publicly I do that. Look, I know it's golf. I know it was brief, but it's not any way. As I said, my kid behaved like that, I'd be out of my mind.
I was a little concerned because later in the day, all of a sudden I get a text from your wife to my wife and I inviting us for dinner. And then shortly thereafter, she took the invitation away and said, sorry, I booked myself too busy. I can't do it that day. And I'm like, wow, he came home and said, there's no way I'm ever eating with that guy again. So I just wanted to make sure the invitation being taken away was actual because of busyness.
Now, you look, the bottom line with you and when you walk through the door at my house, You're one of my favorite people to see, and I'm socializing with you and getting together.
Why the dinner?
This one, that's legit, Carla. We were having a gang over, and then Carla overscheduled herself, not necessarily for Friday, although she's going till 6 Friday, but the whole day on Saturday.
Are you worried that if you had a
St. Patty's Day celebration was not in the cards, and that interestingly enough, that's something that happened like during the day before I came home.
You sure you didn't text her and say that, hey, we gotta cancel the
dinner? Are you sure you're not worried, thinking about that if you had Mark over
that, like, if you reach for an extra cookie for dessert, he'd say, put it down, Mike, it's good.
You know, Rob, you're a funny guy, Rob. You don't know anything about golf or sports, but that's it.
When I mentioned that, he embarrassed everybody. Mike was reflecting on the fact that he's no longer a member at that club, and he would like to be, not just respected, but he doesn't want to be known as the hothead or the Happy Gilmore of golf down there. So, like, that's what I meant by him reflecting on he should have acted accordingly, and he wanted to be a little more even keel,
especially as a guest.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, that's the bigger question that you have to ask, is he invited back as that guest next year? Because that's not only was there bad play involved, but then he showed his ass. So I don't know if John invites him back next year. That's the bigger
question.
That is tough.
Yeah.
That's the long range. That's the long COVID of this.
Yeah.
He's got to work hard at this.
Mm-hmm. It's like having, we've all had, the crazy X that you're like, man, like, if you just, like, they told you it was a family outing and you showed up in a thong, it's just one of these things that you're like she's hot and she's funny, but it just may not be worth
it. Mike is the crazy X. I'm sorry, Mike.
Yeah, well, this has been fun.
But to be fair, you did not wear a thong. You were dressed course appropriate.
Yeah, you had a fullback.
Yeah,
I most days was dressed pretty well, but one more comment
and good for
one
you.
More comment, and I thought about this seriously, because I think maybe it's the Irish nature of Mark. If he had chosen to get physical, Mark's a strong guy. Mark hits it with a one less club 50 yards further than I do. That's how he's a strong guy. I would come up on the short end of that. I probably, not until after what he said this morning, have perceived that. So I'm going to tread lightly and, try to avoid this. I am filled with remorse, and I don't, why are you laughing at that, Rob?
Why are you laughing? That's what Will Smith said.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
This was very close to an Oscar slap.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt as if my space was invaded, and it felt like an Oscar slap.
Yeah, I know.
Was it so off-putting that, did you mention this to your wife when you went home?
First thing. In fact, it didn't even get, I said to her, because she came to watch the shootout and came to the club with my daughter, and I literally said to her, I said, you're not going to believe what O'Meara did on the golf course.
Did she believe it?
Oh, she believed it. I had to wait for the daughter to go to bed because, most of the language wasn't appropriate for an 8-year-old.
Understood. But, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Listen, man, I'm on medication.
No,
you didn't misinterpret that. I haven't said anything. I'm saying I have to up the dose.
Okay.
I'm on medication, so crap like that won't happen to me. And whatever it was, it wasn't kicking in. There's a reason they call it Wellbutrin. Okay. It's supposed to make you feel well. Mm. All right. Not angry. Mm. But no, that's it. I wasn't trying to
change the name of it.
Were you thinking when I said that I was going to say medication made me do it? No.
No, I was going to say that, it was almost leaning towards a little bit of pity, and you said you weren't going to let
what?
Us. Like, you're the wounded duck.
Yeah, like, I'm on medication.
I'm not saying I'm the wounded
duck.
Okay,
and so I just wanted to make sure
that sound like a wounded duck?
Oh, all quack, right. Quack.
There we go.
That's the real Mike. Yeah. There's the real Mike right there.
There's the angst.
I know. I will be thinking of this a long time, because it's something I would certainly like to avoid, and I'd like to avoid all of it, whether it's at the extreme as it was this weekend or future, even the little bitches. I fight it every time I'm out there. And you see guys on tour that are the happy-go-lucky guys, then you see the guys that are just emotionless, which is not a bad way to be. As Becker told me, Becker doesn't have any emotion out there. And that's the way you're supposed to play this game, without emotion. You're really supposed to, of all the sports, that's the one you're supposed to do that. And I'm not sure whether I'll ever be able to do that. I just don't know. But if your emotion is, pushing somebody that you have a high regard for away, you got to decide whether that's what you want to do. And if you're going to be out there, certainly get your together the next time you're out there. That's what I say. And I publicly apologize to you sincerely. I believe that at the end of the day, when you said, when I said I can make this right coming on the show, you had already accepted my apology. But I believe you knew at that point that I was sincere.
No, I knew you were sincere when that was you. We were several holes into it. The match was over, and a good hour had gone by from when you got a little hostile. So no, it was done. I mean, I have to be honest, right to the bitter end, though, I was trying to win every hole. I mean, I've never wanted to beat somebody as badly as I wanted to beat you in that match on Saturday. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I've never gotten to where I've never felt that way on the golf course.
Yeah.
Where you say, I had every bit of emotion riding me. I looked at my partner several times and said, we need to win another hole. I think we were up by four holes. We need to win another hole. I just wanted to bury you at that point, because that's how I'm very competitive. So once that happened, the competitive juices were overflowing.
He wasn't a friend, you're welcome. He was a foe.
Well, that's it. We have
friends?
To move on.
I don't know what happened. I feel like there's no resolution.
I have high regard for him. Okay. We spar with each other all the time. I wish that friend. By the way, I wish for that friendship to continue. Yeah. And whether you feel that way now or in the future, I hope that's the case.
I would have never come on if I didn't feel that way.
Well, that's nice.
You've got to know
that's
that.
Sweet.
I appreciate that. The show that he is on, ladies and gentlemen, down here in Florida and around the state of Florida, is the Miller and Moulton Show, one of the best sports talk shows you will ever hear. And Mark, thank you. I love you. And thanks for coming on the show. I really
appreciate it. I love you too, buddy. And just up that dosage, okay? Up that dosage.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mark.
We got to take a break. We will come back with the Rob Spiewak Sound Town flip side.
Flip
Do we have time
side.
For
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we have time,
we have
for,
time
a
for a
bit.
Brief one yeah. When we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. I really should feel better right now, but I don't. We'll be right back, everybody.
Paisan Paulie. I know it's been a long time since you heard from me, but the boss sent out a proclamation that we all have to listen to. Now he wants you to share the show. That means let your friends tell their friends and their other friends that the Mike O'Mara Show is on the air. And they can go to TMOS.com to check out the bonus show. And they can go on the TikTok and the Instagram for snippets of the show. Do it today. The boss asked you. And let your friends be a friend of ours. Capiche? We now return you to the man, the myth, the legend, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Paulie. This portion of the show brought to you by Dadgrass. Do you need an afternoon reset?
Oh!
No, not at all. Do yourself, sometimes it works that way, do yourself a favor and snag 5 minutes for a Dadgrass toke break. They've also got Momgrass joints as the perfect pick for mom to spark up and to spark up your creative flow, or the original Dadgrass joints to quiet your mind after your 9-to-5. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. And if you want the toke without the smoke, Dadgrass also has a CBD tincture made with the same high-quality hemp. It's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. And if you're not looking to toke, Dadgrass also offers the finest tinctures. Yes, I'm still shaking up, Oscar. And gummies on the market. All the mellow goodness, no smoke required. Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. of A. Right now, Dadgrass is offering TMOS listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Remember, man, that's dadgrass.com/TMOS.
Hello.
The flip side.
Mike, a lot of people were talking about the Academy Awards, but there was one great moment on the red carpet, which was actually champagne colored this year. They did not have.
Yeah, they made a big deal about that. I don't get that at all.
I heard the reason was it makes people more calm to have not a red carpet.
That's funny.
Stupid. Anyway, Hugh Grant was there. He did an award with Andy McDowell. He presented an award with Andy McDowell.
Yeah, I watched the interview. It was just. I don't know how dickish it was, but it was definitely he was difficult.
He was difficult. I just think he didn't want to be there. I don't think
he
wanted
to be there
because he wasn't.
Right.
He wasn't nominated.
The happy talk on the red carpet is so
garbage,
vacuous.
Yes,
and some people maybe don't tolerate that, but you know they have to be there doing their jobs. And he just didn't want to play.
No,
along.
He doesn't want to play. Along. Here's Hugh Grant.
What are you wearing tonight, then?
Just my suit.
Your suit? Who made your suit? You didn't make it.
I can't remember. My tailor.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to the tailor.
Yeah.
So tell me, what does it feel like to be in Glass Onion? It was such an amazing film. I really loved it. I love a thriller. How fun is it to shoot something like that?
Well, I'm barely in it. I'm in it for about 3 seconds.
Yeah, but still, you showed up and you had fun, right?
Almost.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. It was nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
All right, back to you guys.
He might be a good golf partner for you.
Oh, stop it.
I like it that the ability to be so famous, like you don't even have to play along.
No, but I do love the answer. Did you have fun? Almost.
Almost. I would love to really know how long he's in that movie because it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a short bit.
It is. It's like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
He's on a Zoom screen. That's it.
That's fine.
He has the same amount of time as Angela Lansbury in that movie. Mike.
Rest her soul.
Yes. She made the death reel.
She
did.
Right.
Mike, mm-hmm. Dateline Canada. A man got into a Tesla he thought was his Tesla, and he drove it away. Sadly, not his Tesla. He drove away in the wrong car.
I started driving it. I noticed there was a crack on the windshield, and then I called my wife. What happened to the windshield? Next message was, you are driving the wrong Tesla car. I think there was 2 Tesla cars which are parked side by side. And because I was in a hurry, I jumped into somebody's car. I was surprised how I was able to drive somebody else's car.
So I guess the
hello, Bluetooth everybody.
Security. Hi, everybody. For his Tesla car.
Hello, everybody.
Tesla car. Look at einen Tesla car lined up and back to back. They're all gray. They're all gray, but it had to crack on the einen windshield on it.
I'm shocked that he was able to drive away.
He did. But the thing is good news, not a cracked windshield.
But
look at the Tesla car
crazy.
with the Kia safety technology.
Mike, just brief for you. This will be our penultimate cut today. Guess who has a new single dropping is the band Yes.
Ooh. Wow.
And I love Yes, and I think this sounds like classic Yes. Starlight gaze out. Walk about international dark sky park. Desert twilight. Great voice, though.
I'd have to listen to it a couple of times.
I agree. It's called Cut from the Stars, and I can't tell if it sounds like Yes or it sounds like AI doing Yes.
You know, first impression, does it sound like they're trying too hard to sound like Yes?
The thought crossed my mind.
How old are they now?
They're 1,000 years old.
Well, no, I mean, voices don't age as well.
No, his voice is great. I'm just questioning the material and the arrangement. I hope it's good. I like Yes.
Me too.
Mike, a little girl is complaining to her mom We close with this. It's a pair of tapes. A little girl is complaining to her mom that they were trying to do an illusion for great historical figures and where they would fit in Harry Potter. And she was very upset that no one knew who she was talking about.
I was talking to people and I said, I bet Napoleon would be a Slytherin in Hogwarts because he has lots of ambition. The kids look at me and say, we don't know who Napoleon is. And so I go on asking like a couple other kids. They all say they didn't know. I asked 5 kids about this question and only one of them knew.
Wow.
The education system has greatly failed them.
Yeah, maybe they'll learn it in a couple of years.
And they asked Napoleon for a comment, Mike.
What are you going to do today, Napoleon?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
That's all I got for you today.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
I have to sneak that in again. That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. So please join us for that on the Mike O'Mara Show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
If you're waiting for a hug, you might want to pack a lunch.